this morning. Turn with us over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. Let's stand on the reading of the Word of God. I'd like to read just one verse this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2 and verse number 21. Here the Bible says, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says. For he said, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you. Again, we thank you for this time. I pray you touch these families, God, that have this great need today. Lord, would you help them? Would you help all my preacher brethren that are standing behind the sacred desk this morning proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus? I pray now you'd help our nation. Oh, God, I pray for our country today. Pray for our church and our families. Help me to preach and preach right this morning. And I'll be careful, God, to always give you the right of way in what we do. Try my best in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. In this story this morning of Luke 2, you'll notice that when the days were accomplished, what had just happened? Well, the Savior has been born. We just celebrated Christmas morning on this last Friday, and now Jesus is the reason for the season. Somebody say amen. And so we've partook in the day of Christmas, but I want to preach this morning on this thought. Out of Luke 2:21, when those days were accomplished, I won't preach on after the Christmas rush. After the Christmas rush. You see, there was a rush in Christmas. The wise men came seeking Him. Many people came. They were very busy to see the Christ child. We just came out of one of the busiest seasons, and I wanted a blessing to be able to gather with a few in this last week with your family and loved ones and celebrate that of Christmas. But now we as Christians, we the people of God, as our church family, what do we do now after this Christmas rush? Watch in the text in verse 21. I want to say, first of all, after the Christmas rush, don't forget the name. Don't forget the name. When the days were accomplished, the Bible said His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. Can I tell you that God seen that there was a son that was given? I sure am glad in Isaiah's Gospel 9 and number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So after this Christmas rush, don't forget about the name. He is Jesus. There was a Son that is given. In Hebrews 10 and verse number 11, there was a sacrifice that was granted. Isn't it amazing before Christ was ever conceived in the womb of a virgin woman, God had His name picked out. God had a plan in mind. God designed to send His Son for the sin of mankind. And here we see in Hebrews 10 and verse number 11, this sacrifice that was granted. For the Bible says, by which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, can I tell you, don't forget the name this morning. That Son is given. The sacrifice is granted. But I want to say, thirdly, our salvation is guaranteed. In Hebrews 7 and verse number 25, the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. I like what the old preacher said. Not only can Jesus save to the uttermost, He saves to the guttermost. I'm glad He can save anybody this morning. He's able also to save them to the uttermost watch that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Oh, this morning I sure am glad that our salvation is granted. After this Christmas rush, don't forget about the name. It's just something about His name. I was sitting over there, and as Brother Michael was reading, I was singing. I was reading and I was pondering on this thought. Here in Acts 4, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. After the Christmas rush, don't forget about the name. Oh, you know, when the Hendersons would come, I'd have her sing, "Oh, Beautiful Star," in June and July. I'd say, "Miss Patsy, let's have Christmas tonight." And you say, "Well, preacher, why would you do that?" Because Christmas is not a one-day deal. Oh, it's just something about that name that is high and holy this morning, that God sent Him to take away our sins. I sure am glad after the Christmas rush that I don't forget about His name. And then secondly, in this text of Luke's Gospel, after this Christmas rush, families, don't forget the name. But then, secondly, don't forfeit the necessity. Don't forfeit the necessity. Look at this Bible character that appears in verse 25 of Luke 2. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout." I like what the writer said. Just was his relation to man, but devout was his relation to God. Wouldn't that do us all good this morning? To certainly be just and devout. Just in our relation to man, but devout in our relation to God. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." I'm glad that Jesus died for all. You say, don't forfeit the necessity. That's exactly right. Look at verse 25 and 26. You'll notice there was a personal revelation. The Holy Ghost knocked on his heart. He came to the temple and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I'm glad this morning we can go to the house of God where the Holy Ghost is. They love places. They don't want nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. But friend, let me tell you, we need God in this day and in this house. Isn't it good to come to the place where God is with the Holy Ghost upon you this morning? And oh my goodness, there was a personal revelation. You say, "Well, preacher, where do you get that?" The Bible said in verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the Spirit of God will lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Ghost didn't take him to Buddha. The Holy Ghost didn't take him to Muhammad. But honey, you'll know the Holy Ghost is on you when He takes you toward Jesus this morning. Oh, it was a personal revelation. Have you ever had a personal revelation where the Holy Ghost has showed you Christ? And then secondly, not only was this a personal revelation, but look at verse 28. I'm going to blow a lot of men's doctrine out of the water by the Bible this morning. Not only was there a personal revelation, but there was a personal reception. A man's got to receive Christ to be saved. Verse 28, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," I want to ask you something. Has there ever been a time that the Spirit of God has dealt with your heart and when you reached forth by faith and you received Christ? Oh, I'm glad for the day that the Lord saved me. Some of you are wondering, have you ever been saved? Well, I simply want to ask you this. Has God ever knocked on your heart by the Holy Ghost? Has He ever convinced you that you are a sinner? And that time you reached forth out of your heart by faith and you received Christ as your Savior. You say, well, preacher, after this Christmas rush, oh, don't forfeit the necessity. I was getting ready this morning. I come this close to preaching on it, so I want to go on and give you this sermon too. I got to thinking why I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell because of the pain that is there. I don't want to die and go to hell because of the people that is there. Now, I don't want to die and go to hell because of the place that is that. It's a literal place that burns with fire this morning. I don't want to die and go to hell because of the price that's been paid for me. I'm glad Jesus paid the price for us all this morning. Oh, after the Christmas rush, don't forget the name, don't forfeit the necessity. You'll notice in this text, there's a personal revelation, there's a personal reception, but in verse 30, there's a personal reaction. He said this, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, I'll be honest with you, when I was a lost man, I seen people that experienced salvation. Brother David, I remember the first time I'd met Renee, moved down, we started going to the churches that she was accustomed with. We went to a church over in Macedonia where your daddy went and your mama played the piano. I can remember seeing Brother David's daddy stand up, and when he'd stand up, his hands would rock on the back of the pew, and he was testifying about how good God was. And then about that time, there was this red-faced man stood up by the window. He started praising God, enjoying His salvation. He said, you know, when you get saved, he said, even your milk cow will look different, honey. I'll never forget that service. He said, what are you saying, man of God? I've seen salvation through the eyes on other people. But oh, in 1981, when I received Christ, now my eyes have seen. And it's real, folks. It's real. Somebody said, Ken Bowman got saved and he's a preacher. Are you kidding me? One guy said this. I love what he said, Brother David. You can say what you want to about that man of God, but something happened to him. I'm glad my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. After Christmas rush, Jesus was put in a little lowly manger, a feeding trough. The wise men came. They came and worshiped Him. Now the child Jesus, these days have been accomplished, and we're fixing to go into silent years. We pick Him up there at 8 days old, and now it's silent till He's 12. And look what the Bible says, my last point this morning, out of Luke 2. After the Christmas rush, don't forget the name. Don't forfeit the necessity. Don't bypass Christ. Hell will be your home. But thirdly, don't favor the norm. Don't favor the norm. You say, well, Brother Ken, where are you getting that out of our text? Look in Luke 2:41. The Bible said in verse 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And watch this. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. You know what happened? Time out. You know what just happened? they got ahead of Him. Don't get ahead of Him. Watch. But they supposing Him to have been in the company. They watch now. Underline this. Always remember. They went a day's journey. And they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, underline that, after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast Thou thus dealt with us? Behold, Thy father and I have sought Thee sorrowing. And look what He says. He said to them, how is it that you sought Me? Wished you not that I must be about My Father's business? Now we pick Him up in the Bible, these silent years. From Jesus was an infant child, the days were accomplished. And after this great Christmas rush, there's a time of being of Christ that is silent years all through our Bible. And we pick Him up now at 12 years old in the temple. His mother and daddy took Him to church. I want to say this lastly. Don't forget the norm. First of all, look how they lost Him. I want to say, first of all, they lost Him in religion. Families, this morning, if we have ever went to church in a day and hour where Jesus has been lost in religion, it is in this day and this hour. A man don't get saved by confessing his sins to a pope. A man don't get saved by putting his faith in a Baptist preacher. A man gets saved by trusting the finished work of Calvary's cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look how they lost Him. They lost Him in religion. America's very religious. It will astound you what this Bible teaches. That's why we need to be in a Bible preaching church where Christ is lifted and doctrine is preached. How they lost Him. They lost Him in religion. We've got a beautiful building to go to. I just want to chat. Have you ever been into a more beautiful facility than God has given Liberty Baptist Church? I've never seen one any prettier. But don't let Him get lost in the chandeliers. Don't let Him get lost in the pretty ceiling and all the nice instruments. So many times Christ is lost in religion and a do-good. Let me ask y'all something this morning. When somebody would come to this altar that's been out in the world and they dump their heart to Jesus and they're needing help, why would you be so religious to say they're getting what they deserve? What do me and you deserve? I mean, really, what do we deserve? Be careful not to throw rocks at people. Christ is lost. He was, don't favor the norm. How they lost Him. He was lost in religion. Secondly, He was lost in rituals. I want to plow right here a minute. They had to come every year. Don't lose Him in your ritual of having to come to church on Sunday. Come to church on Sunday with an anticipation God's going to say something to me and God's going to do something in me. I don't know if you all realize this or not. I want to say this. Brother Dana Williams preached one of the best messages here a couple of weeks ago I've ever heard. And it might have went over some folks' head, but I want to say this. Did you get the gist of this? In order to have a meal with God, and so many times we're wanting God to bring everything. But Abraham sat down and said, let me take your shoes off and let me fix you a meal. You see, it's what we bring to the fellowship. When we sit in here and have need of nothing, don't think the preacher's going to hit it out of the park. You've got to need something in your life. Don't let rituals knock Jesus away from it. We've all got needs in our lives this morning. But rituals. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Well, check that off my bucket list. Christ ought to be something so much greater than that. They lost Him in religion. They lost Him in rituals. But thirdly, they lost Him in their relatives. You say, what? Sure did. I've had to mark a line in the sand. It's some things I ain't going to do. I don't care who's heading it up. I don't care if they're the granddaddy rabbit. It goes against this Bible. It ain't right. You can love people, and you can love people at a distance. That's my advice to you as your pastor. Them people you can't get along with, love them at a distance. Disconnect. Don't show yourself. It's easy to show yourself. Words fitly spoken. Don't favor the norm. How they lost Him. They lost Him in religion. They lost Him in rituals, but they lost Him in relatives. I don't care what your relatives tell you how crazy you are. If they're out of this Bible, they're wrong. Let the Word of God do the talking for you. That's good preaching on Sunday morning. After the Christmas rush. Oh, don't forget the name. Don't forfeit the necessity of your loss. Call upon Christ. Lastly, don't favor the norm. How they lost Him. Secondly, how they sought Him. The Bible said they won a day's journey. Now, y'all think about this a minute, 12-year-old boy. They pick her stuff up. Walk out of church. Here's a big Bible word that's so deep and true, and supposing Him to have been in their company. How many times have I went forward in things thinking I was so close to Him, but I left Him? Be careful where you go by yourself. Be sure you got Jesus going with you. And let me tell you how you'll always know if Jesus is with you. Because it won't take you but a day to find out what can happen without it. Now look in the story. Watch this. How they left Him. They supposed Him to have been in the company. They thought, sure, now Lord, I know that You're with me in this. I want to ask you something. This would have solved the whole situation, Brother Lee. Brother Ty, this would have solved the whole Bible story right here. If they would have went to Him before they left, they'd have known was He going or not. How many times, man? I want to tell y'all something. I got several things I could tell on me. But I remember I got this big wild idea. I was going to fix this hot rod one time. Brother Michael snicker because he was part of it. Amen. He egged it on. I got to building this car. And I didn't ask the Lord about it. And I'd go to the mailbox and get that invoice. Have you ever been billy goat sick? Brother Daniel, when you get that invoice, you say, are you kidding me? How many times in my life if I'd have said, Lord, if You're going with me, I'm going to go. But if You're not, I'm going to sit right here by You till You're done. I'm sitting right here. till you've done what you want to do. And then whenever you tell me that I can move on, as long as you'll go with me, I know everything will be all right. Don't get ahead of God this morning. Don't get ahead of Him. They supposed Him to have been in the company. Well, Miss Sherry to come this morning. Don't favor the norm. How they lost Him. How they sought Him. But look lastly, how it cost them. Did you notice this? And I want you to underline this in your Bible. I want you to always remember this. They went one day without Him. But it took them 3 days to get back to Him. You know, every day that you leave Him out of the process, it's going to take you a lot longer to get back to where you was with Him. It's amazing. After the Christmas rush, I don't want to forget the name. I sure am glad I've not forfeited the necessity. I've been saved. Have you? I don't want to favor the norm. I don't belittle our circumstances. Not an ounce. But God help my heart when I pull in this church. That religion don't hide Him. Rituals don't hide Him, but I want to hear from Him. I want to ask you this morning as a family what you need today.